Welcome to the first Las Vegas Weekly Nightlife Podcast. I'm Deanna Rilling, and in studio today we have our 2009 staff pick for Vegas' best resident DJ, Keith Evan. Hello, Keith.
How you doing? Good to be here.
Good. Thanks for being with us for our very first podcast. So if there are some minor bumps in the road or snafus, just bear with us. I guess first off, to start with, you've been here in Vegas almost 10 years. And you're kind of one of the most important factors in the house music scene out here, in my opinion. So backing up a little bit to how you got your start, when and how did you connect with house music in the first place?
Well, my journey kind of, it began back in the late 80s, actually early 90s more accurately, 1990 in Los Angeles underground scene. Just was a very big fan of Doc Martin. And that's kind of was the first sound I was introduced to, the more deep underground sound. I followed it, you know, from day one. As soon as I heard it, I was a disciple. So, and that's where it all began.
Do you remember, like, the first party you went to, or maybe the first house record you heard?
I remember the first significant experience I had. I don't remember the name of the party. I just remember it being three floors. But you know, some of the events that really stick in my mind is a party called Flambo Liquid, which was Doc Martin's kind of bread and butter at that time. And you know, we were kids then, but you know, we followed that party, and then pretty much anywhere he did his events in LA and the San Diego area, as well as San Francisco. We followed him, you know, up and down the coast.
Can you recall, like, the first time you ever stepped behind the turntables or ever just, like, decided,
you know,
I really want to learn how to do this?
You know, for me, it was different. It was, you know, I was going, it was in 94. I was living in Humboldt County, going to school, Humboldt State. And I actually, you know, had been involved in the scene for 4 or 5 years at that time. And I just was kind of, I never really saw myself as being a DJ. You know, I used actually financial aid money to buy turntables. And,
nice.
You know, I started collecting vinyl at that time. And to be honest, I collected vinyl as a hobby for about 6 years before I actually even took, like, a real gig as far as being paid. But, you know, out there, we started doing our own events, and we would play for fun. As far as my first time, I mean, it was probably in my bedroom, of course, but you know, I just, it was just for fun. It never was a business for me at that point. I never saw myself even getting to this point. I never even really wanted that in my life. So, you know, that's how it all began. And, you know, somehow, some way, I'm here now. So.
Now, as far as your beginnings, you mentioned your financial aid money and using that. A lot of people out here might not know that you actually have a bachelor's in sociology, correct?
That's correct.
How does that come into play at all with what you're doing now, if at all?
Good question. I, you know, the sociology major was the only reason I even chose that. You know, I just wanted to get a degree in college. I didn't really have a real goal or focus on how that was going to be. And then when I chose my major after getting through my general education, you know, it was like, it was just the most interesting subject to me at that time. And so I chose that. And, you know, as far as my career now, my life, I think it definitely has opened my mind and kind of shaped my views. And, you know, I think I do use it. I think I probably, looking back now, probably should have got a marketing degree. But at the same time, you know, sociology has definitely been very insightful. I think it helped me through my journey. So,
how did you end up in Vegas in the first place? Because, you know, Cali seems like a really good scene as far as house and dance music compared to Vegas, even though things are improving here. What possessed you to come here in the first place?
I actually was, at the time I got out of school, I was back in Southern California, and had an opportunity to go travel in Venezuela. I was out there for 2 years, and when I finally left Venezuela and came back to the United States, my mother was actually living here. And the reason how it all happened is they were introducing a product they were putting. It was a golf product that my stepfather was into, and they asked me to come out and help them at the convention at the time. And I had a lot of experience in Vegas just because my father used to be here all the time. And so we, you know, being so close to Southern California, we'd be in Vegas just growing up as kids. But I came out here for that, to help them. And while I was here, I of course, I'm going to go out because I want to see what was going on around town at that time. And this was in the summer of 2000, August 2000. And right away, just found where the house music was at the time, which was Utopia. And there was a party at House of Blues in Spanda Room. And those were the, and there was another party called Dragon, which was at China Grill at the time in Mandalay Bay. And right away, I just kind of, you know, started meeting people. And, you know, I think it took me no longer than a week to really feel like I could do something here, just because of my experience, my contacts through the Deep House community. And there really just wasn't anything really significant at the time I felt that was going on. So I decided to make the move and, you know, got a real job. Just made my way and just started, you know, finally in April, that's when we started Soundbar. You know, I met up with Carlos Sanchez and Brian Minogue and we collaborated. I started, you know, getting gigs. My first residency was at V-Bar, of all places, in the Venetian, and just started from there. And we just hustle, you know, year after year. And, you know, Soundbar just turned into this beautiful flower now. So, yeah, that's how it went down.
So now with Soundbar and House Society, a lot of times people out here, maybe clubbers that aren't as into the scene, they think Soundbar is an actual place, not the party. So for you, how would you describe Soundbar to somebody who might not be as familiar with it?
Soundbar is, you know, it's the name of our event. We've floated that party. Now, I think this is our 10th venue. You know, we found a good home now, Ghost Bar. We've been able to, this is going to be our 14th or 15th show coming up this week. But Soundbar is just kind of, you know, we've traveled with it. I mean, we've started at House of Blues. We've been in small venues, big venues. We've done one-offs. Been a weekly at one time. Now it's a monthly. So it's seen, you know, its evolution has seen, you know, all elements. But, you know, it's just really our interpretation of what, you know, we like to, you know, describe as deep house. You know, we're really focused on our sound. The music represents that sound, and what it's been able to do is bridge the gap between all the artists around the United States and now internationally to come out. We've been able to, you know, pioneer the scene with this party, and, you know, now it's a staple in the community as far as house music. So, yeah, that's what it is.
Can you tell us a little bit more about House Society specifically, what your goal is with that?
House Society is, you know, it's a collaboration. It's basically a crew name, but it also represents, you know, community of really Las Vegas and everyone else involved that's been a part of our family. You know, it's me, Carlos Sanchez, and Brian Minogue. We started the party together, so, you know, it's you know, it's a trio. Our focus right now is just kind of really event-based at this point. We're just really concentrating on making the event bigger and bigger, and each year it has. You know, right now we're really tapping into bigger and bigger talent as far, what I mean by that, more A-list talent, guys that are kind of at the top of our game as far as production, and DJing at the same time. This year we, you know, have the first 6 months already booked. We like to, what we're trying to do is just bring guys that haven't been here yet. This year we have Quentin Harris, who has already played for us. In February we have some new guests with 3 Degrees Global. They're from Chicago. It's Julius and Matt Thinker and Felix. In March we have another first-time guest, Timmy Regisford, who is a New York legend from Shelter. April, of course, is our 9-year anniversary, which we always have Doc Martin and Lilia, and she does a live vocal set for that. In May we just signed Dennis Ferrer on board, which is going to be huge for us. He just was nominated for a Grammy, so it's great timing for that. And then the next event after that, which is July 1st, is Osun Lade, who we've had before, which he's going to be starting to be one of our regular yearly guests as well. So that's the immediate focus. We have talked about doing a record label at some point. And on top of it, you know, we've done parties in Miami, of course, from Music Winter Conference. I've done an event in Detroit. You know, we did a party in Mexico this last year, called Mi Casa Su Casa. And it's not house society, but it's kind of a part of the bigger whole. We're collaborating with other promoters in different cities, and we're just starting to branch out, you know. So that's kind of where we're at right now. I mean, I think there's a long way to go, but we're definitely making some headway.
Cool. I know for this year, some of the guys that you have come out, like you had Ben Watt come out for the first time, which is awesome. You bring Miguel Miggs out a bit. Who do you think have been some of your favorite guys or girls to bring out over the past year?
The past year, definitely Osen Lade sticks out to me this last year. You know, Miguel's always a treat. You know, he's a great friend. And, you know, I think you tend to get comfortable with some of the stuff, but it's always a pleasure to have guys out that, you know, you've been listening and playing their music for years, and you have a lot of mutual friends, and then you finally get to meet, and then, you know, you make a connection. That was one event that really stuck out to me as far as last year. That's a tough question, you know. I mean, all these guys we bring on are amazing artists, and, you know, I there's not one that really I haven't been disappointed with. I mean, everything's been amazing. So, but as far as last year, I think that's the one that really sticks out.
Cool. Now, as far as Vegas, there kind of seems to be a debate amongst a lot of locals, especially house heads, as to what defines, like, proper house music. For example, a lot of events in town are billed as, oh, it's our house night. But true, like, real deep house fans constantly disagree. So in your opinion, what's kind of your view on the genre debate out here in Vegas specifically?
That's a sticky question. You know, the older I've gotten, I've kind of been reluctant to be so critical. But I think because of the roots of our sound, you know, it's a little bit older. It's been around a little bit longer, and a lot of these subgenres have kind of come from it. You know, but, you know, it's a new generation, and there's kids that don't get exposed to that, and what their interpretation of house music to them is that. And so it's kind of hard to argue against that. But as far as myself and where I come from, you know, of course, everything to me comes from the sound we play, and actually from disco even way before that. So, you know, it's just a matter of educating, and it's a matter of people being, you know, more aware of what, you know, they think house is and where it came from. I mean, it's an open debate. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that one thing's right, one thing's wrong. I don't think that's the right approach anymore at this point in my career. But, you know, all I know is what I know. So, you know, and you can't really deny that. So,
do you think it even necessarily matters, or is it just more important that people are getting out there and checking it out and then maybe discovering things on their own?
Well, I always think it's important for people to self-educate themselves, you know, ask questions, and not be so hard-headed. You know, when you're young, though, it's kind of hard to do that sometimes. You know, you have to learn and be able to take information. And as well as myself, I was always very critical. I've always been a purist, always been called a purist. Still consider myself a purist, just not as quite vocal about it, because it can be very offensive to people. You know, I learned that the hard way. So, you know, my point is, it's just important to respect all genres. You know, whatever your liking is, so be it. You know, it's not up to me to judge.
Now, I know that you guys have a new soundbar CD coming out tomorrow evening, Thursday night. You guys are going to have another party, like a local edition. So can you tell me a little bit more about the CD as well as the event tomorrow night?
Tomorrow is a really special edition of Soundbar. We named it the Local Cheer Edition. It is the first time we've been able to actually have local DJs play Soundbar. Like I said, Soundbar is always about, you know, bringing guests from outside and showcasing them. You know, generally we haven't done a Christmas event in the last 2 years just because the season's usually slower. So that's not our decision. It's always the venue we've been decision. We decided to do it this time, do a local edition one. And we have three of the pioneering local DJs, Frank Richards, Edgar Reyes, and Royce Ramirez, playing with us. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We released a triple pack CD, which is called House Society Sessions Volume 5. And it's the first time that Brian's actually been on a House Society Sessions Volume CD. So it's cool. And we all did an individual mix for it. So yeah, we're going to be handing those out to the first 200 customer, like people that come through the door for free as Christmas presents. So And it's Santa hat party, so bring a Santa hat.
And for you guys, I think you guys probably have the best flyers that I've seen in town in a long time. Every single time I see a soundbar flyer, it's always the incense pack. So whose idea was that?
Believe it or not, the incense idea was from a girl named Melanie Salas. She works for us in the 9 Group office, and she does a great job for us. As far as design work, we have an amazing group of talented designers in there. Mm-hmm. And a couple people work on that, Sean Clority and Leslie Kohler. But Sean really has been the one that has, branded it, shaped it, kept it fresh. And yeah, they do a great job for us. So I agree. I think our artwork is definitely cutting edge and ahead of the step, according, in comparison.
So people can usually check you out at Sound Bar. You're at the Satellite Bar on Tuesdays at Moon. And then where else can people check you out occasionally around town? And I know this year you've played at the Get Back. You were doing a party taste. So might we see that again next year, or where else can people check you out?
Right now just Moon on Tuesdays at Satellite Bar. Of course, Soundboard Monthly, like you said. Taste right now, I was at Cafe Soleil, and the place went under, so we're looking for a new venue after the new year. I've been approached by 4 or 5 different venues, but I'm just taking a break from it right now so I can really concentrate on it. There is some stuff in the works for 2010. I'm going to be starting a new monthly at Good Life, which is another electronic music event weekly at the Palms. They've asked me to come and do a monthly, in between sound bars. So we're starting that March 7th with Miguel Miggs and Lisa Shaw. That they're together. And we'll see how that goes. And we're also talking about doing some new stuff at the pool once it warms up. Possibly for the Revolution Party, a Z-Trip. We might be doing a house area out in the pool. We're working on that, so hopefully I'll have details of that here in the next month or so. And right now we're just concentrating specifically on Miami right now. Doing 3 events out there, planning on 3 events. One that we're setting up with the Palms at the Shore Club, which is going to highlight all 3 major brands there as far as the music, Perfecto, which they do the Paulo Cafu residency there, and Z-Trip's Revolution. Then I'm going to be doing the soundbar room there. And then I do an event also in Miami called the Ambassador event. And, we're getting ready to put that together. And we're also working on a 3rd event this year, which is the event I mentioned earlier that we did in Mexico called Mi Casa es Su Casa. And right now we're trying to work details on doing that as well, which is hopefully going to be a daytime party. So, there's a lot of stuff going on. And that's where I'm at right now.
Cool. Just kind of to wrap it up for you, what do you think is maybe one of the best things about being a DJ in Vegas, especially a resident, and maybe one of the biggest challenges?
The best thing about it is I get to do what I love. Sometimes it becomes a job and you tend to lose that touch. But, I never forget that. So, there's a lot worse things I can be doing for a living. But that, being able to wake up every day and work for myself and create interpret what I love, that's the best part about it. What's the second question?
What do you think are maybe one of the challenges?
For me, it's just because of the sound that, I play. I'm very limited. I think personally speaking, there's a lot of gigs I can't take. There's a lot of money I can't make because of the music I play. And I'm just one of those DJs that sticks to the sound I play. I never got into DJing, just a DJ and play music, So that's the biggest challenge for me. But, I think we got here at the right time, years ago, and we were able to, make a statement and grow and build on it. And it's given us longevity. And so fortunately for me, I have a career from it here in the city, and hopefully it lasts.
Great. Well, I think that's about it for us. Just to kind of wrap up for what's going on the week of December 17th through the 23rd, as we mentioned, you've got the soundbar party at Ghost Bar on Thursday night. And also, in addition to having a Christmas theme and Santa hats are encouraged, people can donate a book.
That's right, and they get a free drink.
Yeah, donate a book to spread the word. You get a free cocktail. So
that's right, educate and get drunk.
No, yep, so, you know, as your vision gets blurry, you can help kids read. So also on Thursday, December 17th, at Beauty Bar, speaking of getting drunk, they have the Beauty Bar Vodka Launch Party, so that's kind of cool. Also at Rain on Thursday over at the Palms, they have their the Down and Derby roller skating party. So people can roller skate for a while, check out Soundbar, roller skate for a little more, bounce back and forth between there. And then at Serendipity on the Strip, it's Las Vegas Weekly's Party on the Patio. December 18th at the Bank, singer Erica Jane is going to perform live at Lavo. If you aren't sick of Day and Night yet, it's the official Kid Cudi after concert party. And Saturday at the 420 Hookah Lounge is the Las Vegas Beatdown Producer Beat Battle. Also at Rain on Saturday night, Felix the House Cat is going to be spinning with Michael Fuller will be there, as well as Sebastian Stellar. And then on Sunday is the 4th annual Socialite Holiday Party at the Bank. At Drop Bar, they're going to have Down and Dirty. It's a dubstep record release party with Metaphase, Tribe Steppas, J-Rod, and Chuck B. Moon is the Hair Wars finale. And on Tuesday at Moon, you can also head back there to see Keith Evan again, as well as Relapse and Casey Mack in the Satellite Bar, and J-Rock the Bells in the main room. And that's what we've got coming up for the next week. Keith, thank you again so much for coming in. I appreciate it. And thanks for being our very first guest and hanging in there with us. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It was my pleasure. I had a good time.
Thanks. Take care.